1, 2, 1, 2. Welcome back, Love University, another episode, and yes. Here we are, getting close to winter break.
It is, yeah. We're doing a lot of stuff this semester. It's going fast, and we're getting excited for the finals that are coming up.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, winter time is always a nice time. But today we're going to talk about a topic, actually, that often comes up in winter that actually can be a little challenging. Mm-hmm. And we call this the shadow monster, or taming depression.
Taming depression.
And, you know, people get down, you know, in some of the holiday periods and, you know, feel sad and things like that. So depression is a very interesting thing. In fact, depression is the largest growing mental illness that we have, mental disorder, in the world. It could be a lot of things. I mean, it could be genetic. We're going to get into some of the causes.
Okay.
But at least, you know, 20 million in the U.S. and maybe 300 million worldwide
what?
Suffer from very serious depression, where they, you know, either sleep too much or not enough, or they eat too much or not enough. They're irritable, and eventually hopeless. And some people eventually, you know, suicide is one of the unfortunate outcomes of serious depression.
So a lot of people tend to be walking in life with depression, but they put a face, right? They put a mask.
Yeah, there's something called agitated depression. People that are actually excitable, and you don't think they're depressed, but they really are.
Wow.
Even children we see have major depression. You know, and also, you know, women, they say females have 3 times more depression than males. But we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
That it's not really necessarily the case, because males don't always show their depression. They hide it behind, you know, either alcohol.
The macho.
Or the macho, yeah, being aggressive, yeah, and things like that. And, you know, they don't go to therapy. So males often may be as depressed as females. So that is another factor.
Think in the future, Dr. Avila, psychology is going to be a major part of society because of this?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, because, you know, we think of the common cold, right? You know, we mm-hmm. go to the doctor for that. We get a flu shot. We need to get a psychological shot.
That's
true.
Know,
to deal with depression, you know, and other things like that, you know, preventative.
Because mm-hmm.
we always think of psychology as helping you after you have a problem, you know, like therapy, fixing a problem. But we need to do preventative psychology, which is what we're doing kind of here.
And speaking of that, Dr. Avila, we're going to have an event coming up, you guys. It's coming already. It's December 1st, yes. Friday at 7 p.m. at Classic Rock Cafe Company in Fullerton. It's 1015 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. We want to invite you to come and check out, you know, Love University Live, networking with love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, network with somebody you never know in the business, or just find out from Dr. Avila's theories the way to love, the way to have better relationships. We're going to be doing our podcast live that day, and we want you to come by and get like a, you know, a checkup with the doctor.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's going to be basically on extending loving energy without expectation, you know, for friendship, business, or romance. We're going to have some mixers, you know, we're going to have a great time, you know, food, coffee available, and wine as well. And also what we call the love seat, where someone can come up there and talk about their issues, and we're going to help them and also have some fun activities.
Definitely.
So it's a whole new approach to psychology. But going back to, so depression, you know, depression, I mean, can be very serious. You know, this is a serious illness. It can cause overeating. You have 4 times more likelihood to have a heart attack if you're seriously depressed. Also, there's something that's called comorbid. It goes with other disorders. For example, alcoholism and depression are very common. Self-medication.
And especially like in the low-income families, right? Like that's very evident because of the lack of money to provide for other things. So you feel like you're not useful. So you tend to resort to these things, alcohol, drugs, right?
Yeah, and think of, you know, unfortunately, fast food is almost like a fix for some people. You know, they eat emotionally, and it's cheap to get, you know, and then, you know, you get the momentary feeling, but then, you know, obviously later on you gain weight, and you don't feel good.
Right away you see the ads, big, get 2 burgers for $2, and exactly. because they sell you the big item, and you feel like you're going to be gratified because you're buying something good. It's a deal. You go on,
yeah, it's so salty and all that sugary, but then eventually you come down, right? So it's actually a crash. You know, you go high, and then you go down. So the types of depression. Now, major depression is, you know, usually two weeks or longer. You know, the serious things like lack of appetite, you know, sadness and hopelessness. But you also have other depressions. For example, something called persistent depression that can last 2 years or more.
What?
It's kind of like people that are kind of constantly pessimistic, you know. It's not like fully depressed, but they're like long-term depressed.
So it's kind of lingering within their minds, right?
Yeah, lingering within their minds, you know, and they kind of don't want to do things in life, you know, kind of apathetic. And they can go on for years. So
a lot of people in Spanish, they would call them amargado, somebody that's sour, right?
Yes, bitter and that kind of thing. Yeah,
but some people take it to the heart and live their entire life like that, right?
Unfortunately, yeah, some people do. You know, so depression can last for a long time, years at a time. Also, seasonal depression, you know, people that live in dark places, you know, they don't have enough sunlight. Postpartum depression, you know, after giving a baby.
Yeah.
This is something up to, you know, 20% of women have this. You know, the hormones, you know, the expectations of the child, you know, they can get very depressed. And of course, you heard that was called bipolar.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, manic is like excited and then you could crash, you know, like, you know, do crazy things, you know, shoplifting, you've heard this recent stuff that's going on, you know, other people do that. And then, but then they crash and they feel so guilty. I can't believe it. And unfortunately, this has one of the highest suicide rates. People that are bipolar, because they have the energy to commit suicide, you know, when they're in the high state, and then they crash and get very hopeless and depressed.
Man, it's such an illness that today's society, I think many of us might not know it, but we are living in a depressed life form. Like, a lot of us tend to, I was reading an article the other day that says that a lot of us get our fix from the phones. And those what networks were created by, you know, making you feel like you're getting a shot of dopamine, you know?
By the way, Nachin, did you do the Nachin Challenge we talked about last week? Did you take a day off from the phone?
I did half a day.
Half a day.
Half a day. I'm honest. I'm honest.
Okay. Dr. All right. Well, tell me, I mean, what do you consider half a day? Was it like 4 hours or eight?
I would say like 6 hours.
Okay. So how did that make you feel when you were able to shut off the phone for a period of time?
I felt good. I felt like productive. Mm-hmm. I felt like my day was not rushed. Mm-hmm. And I honestly feel like after that day, I've been practicing it more. Mm-hmm. And today, for instance, I usually check into my social media a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did it today only twice throughout the day. Okay. I was very busy, but that busyness got me a lot of things done that were very productive.
Good, yeah. So you're breaking a little bit of that phone addiction, you know, that some people have, you know, a lot of people have actually. And that can actually cause depression because if you don't have your phone, imagine if you lost your phone or if it broke, people get depressed. I mean, seriously, you know, they have like a breakdown.
I have a friend who actually lost one and then the company gave him a loaner and he's like, I don't like this thing. It's not my phone and blah, blah.
Exactly, yeah. It's like emotional attachment to the phone.
Yeah.
But that happens, you know, you mentioned dopamine, you know, so there can be biological factors, you know, like brain chemicals that are imbalanced in your brain, environmental issues. Mm-hmm. You raise an environment where you criticize all the time, right? You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not going to find love. Now, they actually done studies with rats, you know, where they go in the maze, mm-hmm. right? And the rats are looking for food. Then they get an electric shock. What happens is that even though there's no more shocks in the maze, they don't go any further. They go belly up. Mm. And that's called learned helplessness.
Okay.
So in a sense, the rats learn how to be helpless, and many times humans are the same way.
So you kind of give up on yourself.
Yeah, you have a failed romance. Okay, I'm not never going to love again, or you got fired from your job. I'm never going to have that kind of job. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do that, and then they fall into depression. It's one of the causes of depression is that you learn helplessness.
And it's crazy. Like, believe it or not, we're not talking bad about anything, circumstances. Right here, we're just talking about things in general. Like, I noticed a lot, like, I have friends that are like, you know, dog lovers, cat lovers.
Right.
But I think a lot of them fell into that because they couldn't, they gave up on something that turned them into that, you know?
Well, you heard of the cat people, right? They have 10 cats, but they don't have a, you know, a spouse or anything. So unfortunately, yeah, I mean, they're looking for companionship and love, you know, and everyone needs that.
So it's kind of like, you know what? Recognizing that you would look at yourself in the mirror, and a lot of people that are into that, they tend to say, well, you know what? I'm not a people person. I'd rather be alone. Mm-hmm. But it could probably be an effect of them being just lost in the depression, right?
Yeah, they, you know, kind of giving up, right? You know, I've had this bad experience, you know, men, I can't trust them, women, I can't trust them, you know, so they fall into this learned helplessness and it can be a problem. The other thing is some people are actually very sensitive. Now, the highly sensitive people, and there's actually studies on this, are very sensitive to any kind of perceived rejection, any kind of negativity, right? So, so these people, any little thing, you know, they just, you know, lie in bed for a week, you know, they can't get up.
It's crazy because I was at somebody's house the other day and the little brother came in and he was mad about some little thing.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I'm like, even the little kid gets into that little mindset.
There is childhood depression. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. They don't seem like it because they still play, but they're internally, right? They feel the sadness and this feeling. So we got to watch out for those things. And the other thing is stress can actually cause depression.
Yeah.
Now we get into the idea, you know, the phone and rushing around. So people get very highly energized. And my son actually loves coffee. I mean, I don't drink coffee, but I know a lot of people love coffee, right?
Yeah.
So, and then that's their high, right? They get high, but then they crash. See, that's when you go down. You know, after that big high, you crash, and then you suffer the depression or the sadness.
Well, you would say then that depression is kind of like a learned behavior?
Well, it can be genetic or learned. You know, I mean, we see that there's a kind of a 50-50 population. Some people are naturally depressed, you know, some ways genetically, and they, you know, there's brain chemicals, but also they can learn to be depressed. Your environment, right? Negative people, you know, critical people, they don't give you support, you know, things like that can happen. Or you can be self-critical.
Right.
You can be perfectionistic. You know, your temperament can say, if I don't get an A+, I screwed up, right? Even an A, you know, is not that good.
You kind of become masochist too because you're torturing yourself. And sometimes, like you said, it lasts years.
Definitely, yeah. Not forgiving yourself. And we talked about forgiveness a lot.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that's interesting is that sadness actually may have a positive purpose.
Okay.
Now, depression is very severe sadness, but, you know, there's momentary sadness. For example, you listen to the car radio and hear a song. Remember back in the day, right? Nostalgia. Oh, my God, I remember that time and that girl and that guy, whatever. And you feel that little sadness. Or maybe your parent passed away or you remember something from the past. And that can be actually healthy. You know, sadness gives you a space, right, and slows you down. So you can kind of meditate and, you know, figure things out.
You know what? I got into a point where I enjoy when I get one of those moments when I get sad because I feel like I purge. I let out tears, even if I'm driving. Mm-hmm. I let my tears out, and I feel good afterwards. I feel like I cleanse my body.
Yeah, you're a sensitive guy, aren't you? Yeah. When you hear that song.
You know it.
What's one of your songs that trigger you, think, that kind of give you a little bit of feeling?
It was a Spanish song by a Spanish singer. His name is Juan Gabriel. Oh, yeah. That was my mom's favorite singer, so yes. I was like, wow.
Remember back in the day?
Yeah.
How about from high school? Is there like a song that triggers like memories from high school? Do you remember?
No, not really.
Back in the days?
No, I was more into my girlfriend. We wouldn't really listen to music. Okay. It was just loving each other.
Okay. Okay. So you didn't have a favorite song?
No.
Okay. But, you know, it could be a scent, you know, it could be a place, you know, things like that can trigger certain memories. And, you know, sometimes they're sad. Mm-hmm. But the key is that many times people try to get away from sadness, right? Either they medicate, you know, they say, hey, don't feel sad, you know, go out and have fun. But sadness can be a good thing. It slows you down, right? It helps you meditate and find a solution.
So you would say that when that slowing of time within yourself, you should take it and be productive with it, like learn from yourself and really acknowledge what's the cause, right?
Right. Maybe I got into the wrong relationship because, you know, this person had certain characteristics. So you say, what do I really want? You know, what kind of relationship do I want? What kind of person do I want? You know, maybe myself, I need to change something about myself, you know, so people can go into a positive mindset by taking that sadness as a lesson, something they need to learn.
So it's a reset button at the same time.
Exactly. The other thing, interesting enough, it can actually improve your memory and attention, sadness can. They actually did a study where they have people in very gloomy days, and they remember things about that day, you know, gloomy, like rainy days, you know, because they're more attuned to those things at the time.
It is weird, though, because I remember, like, with the rain, it takes me back to, like, my early years when I was, like, in junior high or elementary school where we couldn't go out and play, and I would be inside the room looking at the rain. At that moment, it was sad because I wanted to go out and play. Right. But now I enjoy it because I look back at those younger years and I say, man, those were beautiful memories.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's something about the rainy days. You know, we don't have them a lot where we are from, right? But other people have them a lot. You know, it gives you time to contemplate, you know, be inside and things like that. Also, believe it or not, sadness can improve your judgment in some ways.
Really?
Now, they actually do studies like, you know, okay, who's the thief in this videotape?
Yeah.
People who are sad can actually pick up the details better. Happy people are, oh, everything's fine, you know, kind of they have this happy face on them. So they don't tend to analyze as much as someone who's sad and looks at, well, this guy's the one that's doing the bad thing.
Because they're more in tune to, like, you know what, if you're doing it, I'm feeling that badness that you are.
Yeah,
I can intuitively see it.
Right. It's like they're more pessimistic, but they're more realistic. You've heard the phrase that realistic people are more pessimistic.
Yeah.
And happy people are more optimistic, but they may not be as realistic.
That's true.
They don't pick up on the small details of, you know, like negative things that are happening. Also, believe it or not, sadness can actually help you sometimes in motivation. Because you heard of people, the so-called fat cats, right? They're successful. Mm-hmm. They lose their motivation. You know, they're already at the top. You know, they don't try as hard. You know, maybe that director, right? The next movie he makes is crap because he already has the top. But people that are hungrier, maybe sad, will work harder in some ways, right?
That's true. You want to come up. You want to prove yourself.
Definitely, yeah. You want to, you know, get to the higher point so you're more motivated. And ironically, it can sometimes improve human interactions to be a little sad.
Because you have to survive and you have to force yourself to get out of that mud.
Definitely. And also, you know, you see people that are kind of happy, they're kind of what we call Pollyanna, that everything's wonderful. Mm-hmm. They did a study where you had to go into another office and get a report from the other office. People who are sad tend to be more polite and kind of like quieter. People who are happy, hey, how you doing, man? What's going on? So that kind of put people off a little bit, you know. So sometimes sadness.
That's a good way of looking at things because I wonder sometimes, okay, if you look at basic science, psychology, like you say, you have your introverts, you have your extroverts.
Yes.
I've walked into places and I never actually paid attention. I thought that, oh my God, you know what? This person is quiet because, obviously because of their conditioning, but they might be hiding something, right?
Yeah, there could be sadness, right? Yeah. And, but, you know, they seem polite, right? They're kind of quiet and soft-spoken, which you kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes someone who's too happy is irritating, right?
Like, hey, oh my God, you know, this person is ghetto.
Yeah, they're just having too much fun, right?
Yeah.
Although most of the time, you know, happiness does bring happy people, so there is that part of it. Now, let's say we get into a worse situation. Let's say we are really depressed now, okay? Mm-hmm. And some of the people listening to us right now may be depressed. And maybe that's why they listen to us, you know? Like people turn, you know, to help, you know? You know, they feel this severe sadness, you know, maybe hopelessness in life. They have trouble eating. They don't sleep. You know, intimacy with their spouse. Loss of interest in activities. You know, all these things are in their life. How do we help those people, you know, these depressed people? Now, we know there is medication. I mean, people have heard of the Zoloft, the Prozac, which kind of work. In fact, 80% of people on them actually do better after 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes some time for it to kick in.
To build up.
Yeah, because you're actually changing your neurons. It's called neurogenesis. It takes some time to actually get new neurons in your brain. So that can help. Some people actually do worse on antidepressants and some become aggressive. And some people, you know, you've heard some cases in the news, right? They take antidepressants and they snap.
Right.
Other people have side effects and all that. But I like therapy. I mean, I like a combination of both.
You got to be realistic and really, like you said, when you're depressed, that's when you see things for what they are. And that's the advantage. That is not that they're vulnerable. It's just that they hit a wall, and at the end of the day, they're going to face reality, and you either go one way or the or you continue where you are.
Yeah, someone's like suicidal, you know, the you know you got to put a hold on them, you know, because they might do that. You know, medication is very important to stabilize them. But then you want to do some therapy, right? You want to get into some psychological techniques. One thing is good is setting, you know, good goals, you know, setting objectives. You know, that are specific, you know, what you want to do in life. Also that are a challenging but achievable.
Right.
That's the key, because let's say you say, oh, I want to be one of the best, I don't know, broadcasters in the U.S., whatever, which is an achievable thing. But you say, Nachin, I want to be the starting center for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, no.
I don't know if that's going to work, right?
That's not going to happen. Your son might. He's a pro player. He's a tough guy.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously your size and all. But I mean, it's definitely a challenging goal, but it's not achievable.
Right. So you've got to be realistic.
Right. But you want to be challenging too, right? You don't want to just say, oh, I can sell tacos, right? Or I can, you know, anyone can do that, right?
So, yeah. But somebody's going to come out, well, you know what? Rudy made it over the Notre Dame, bro. Why can't you?
Exactly. So something that will inspire you. Also, you want to have what are called approach versus avoidance goals.
Okay.
Now remember, I teach you know psychology in the colleges. I ask my students, hey, what's more motivating to you, to get an A or to avoid an F? And some people say, oh, to avoid the F. But in reality, what is more motivating?
An A.
Yeah, approach, right? Because you want something that you can approach, that you can go toward, that's more motivating. So you want to kind of phrase your goals based on that.
And keywords are the key also, right? You got to talk to yourself and really kind of like look at those positive words that are going to get you out of it. Learn a different language than where you've been lost in, you know?
Yeah, we call it changing your irrational thoughts, like the wrong thoughts that you have. Like in psychology, there's something called cognitive therapy, which is change your thoughts, change your feelings, and change your behavior. One of the common things that we have is people say things like, nobody loves me. It's a thought, right? Nobody cares. So obviously their feeling is going to be sadness. Their behavior is going to be avoiding people, like, you know, like turn off their phone, right? Because I don't want to talk to people. But if you do that, it becomes a cycle, right? Self-fulfilling cycle where now you say, well, nobody's calling me. So guess what?
Forget you then.
Yeah, nobody really loves me, right? So now you become more depressed.
You made it happen and you created the circumstances.
You created the cycle, vicious cycle. So what we need to do is change the cycle, and you know, people can do this in therapy, is let's challenge the thought. Nachin, is it true that no one really loves you?
No.
Okay, who can love you? Let's say, find one person.
My brothers, my sisters, nieces, my nephews.
Right, but if they're resistant, they'll say, no, I don't have a family. They don't love me.
Yeah.
Okay, Nachin, do you believe in a higher power? Can they love you?
I don't know if that exists. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you love yourself, Nachin?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know if I do. I'm a failure.
Exactly. You know? But wait a minute. You have a little chihuahua in your lap. Can your little chihuahua love you, Nachin?
Only when I give him food.
Maybe. But then the chihuahua looks at you in those brown eyes, right? And say, okay, the dog loves me. Okay, Nachin, so someone does love you. Something does love you. And now you feel a little better by yourself. Now you might go out and walk the dog.
Right.
You might run into people that have chihuahuas. You might even join a chihuahua club. Right. Where you can make friends.
That's true.
And now all of a sudden, right, my thought, hey, maybe there are people that do like me, and then I'm feeling less depressed and happier.
I think the idea begins by changing your surroundings. You change your circumstances. You change your circle. And one of the things I can tell that I've been in depression now based on all the points that you brought up thus far, and I believe that every stage that you mentioned, and I've gone through it, and the thing that helped me more than anything is being realistic and being truthful to myself and realizing that if I continue in the same path that I was going, meaning like the way I was thinking, the way I was kind of like being an introvert and not going out after my goals, I was going to stay there. So I changed that mentality, and man, it's been a great week. It's been a great week because I have new goals and I've been doing a lot of things. And I can attest that it's a process, and a lot of people might be afraid of it. But once you face it, it's like getting in the water. Once you're in, it feels good.
Yeah, it's the key, you know, step by step, you know, taking the first step, and that's the hardest part, but changing the thought process, right? You know, challenging your own thoughts, and I think that's what you mean by being realistic. Like, is it true that no one loves me in the world, no one cares? Well, that sounds kind of unrealistic. Someone's got to care, you know, I don't know, maybe the mailman cares, or maybe, you know, my distant aunt, or you know, I can love myself to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So once you change that one little thought, then everything starts changing. The feelings, you start feeling a little more joyful.
Trickle effect.
Yeah, and then you might walk out and, you know, take your dog out or do something right different, and that's going to do the cycle. See, that's the power of that.
One thing that helped me a lot, Dr. Avila, is like you said, force myself to have objectives, but being realistic with the things that I needed to get there. Like you said, real goals. And one of the things is that I realized that, like you said, if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. I have to build it. It's my vision. It's my thoughts. Exactly. And it all starts with me, my attitude. If I want to be stuck there, I'm going to be stuck there because I'm the one feeding myself that.
Exactly. And the key point is internal, because people often say, well, if I get this and this and this. But see, research in psychology, there's something called the treadmill effect. You know what a treadmill is, right? You keep going on it, but you don't make any progress. There's something that way in psychologically that even if you attain something, let's say, I don't know, win the lottery, but you're unhappy before you won the lottery, guess what?
You're still there.
After it wears off, the lottery, you're going to still be unhappy. And you've heard people commit suicide after winning the lottery because they went back to their unhappy state. Or two people say they get married. You know, there is a marriage boost, right? About a five-year period where you get happier. But then you go back to the state you were before. So if two happy people are happy before marriage, they'll be happy after marriage and vice versa. So you need to also be realistic in that sense to realize that, you know, you have a happiness level. So you can increase it to a certain extent, but external things by themselves may not increase it.
And you also got to change your perspective on happiness. Like for me, for instance, like me being happy right now, for instance, is being grateful for what I have.
Yes.
I'm so grateful. Like when I lay down in my bed, when I look at the stars and I think about all my past experiences, I'm grateful for that too. And whoever was in my life in the past, friends, loved ones, I say a prayer and I say, you know what? I hope you're doing good, because whoever you were in my life in the past has brought me to who I am today. And I'm a better individual. I just send you good vibes. And I make peace with my past.
That's good. Yeah, that's beautiful. And also the idea of gratitude and, you know, the journal. We talked about this before, right? The, you know, keeping a gratitude journal every day for, you know, 3 weeks. Write down three things you're grateful for every day.
Okay.
You know, like I said, you're being alive, you know, your friends, your family. That reduces depression by 30%.
And you continue doing it, it'll be a constant. It's like a workout, right? You sustain that level.
Yeah, and think about it, that's an amazing number, 30% reduced depression.
That's a lot.
That's like almost better than antidepressants, right?
Yeah.
And that feeling that, you know, you're grateful for something that, you know, beyond yourself, that's powerful. You know, some people like to do, you know, music, for example. Some even cleaning the house. You know, I know you like to clean, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you over here doing stuff, right?
Yeah, I just don't have enough time to clean more often, but
But it can be a therapy because let's say you're feeling sad, all of a sudden you start cleaning stuff and, you know, organizing stuff, it can change your mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so something simple.
I love cleaning my car. Like, I don't like taking it to a car wash because I feel like nobody's going to put the love that I put into it. To me, my car is like my toy since I was a little boy. I used to play with cars.
Wax on, wax off.
No? Yeah, I do that. I wax it every 3 months. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like you said, it's finding something that makes you tickle and makes you feel good, right?
Yeah, everyone's individual. Some people is cleaning, is cooking, you know, maybe, you know, dressing up a little bit, you know, whatever it is, you know, walking around. So you got to find that little niche, right, that makes you, that pulls you out of your negativity, right? Pulls you into a higher mood. Also, you mentioned forgiveness. I mean, you know, you talked about forgiving those or, you know, learning from the past. That's extremely powerful, too.
But forgiving yourself, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know how people get into the whole regret, I screwed up and I, you know. So forgiving yourself is one of the key elements to get yourself out of that depression.
Yeah.
Because depression really is tightness within yourself. You know, you ever see people that are so tight, you know.
Damn, and they look like a rock.
Yeah, they look like a rock. And internally, they feel like it's all about them. Oh, my God, I don't know my life. I'm, you know, no one likes me or whatever. I'm not doing well.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's doing better than me. So they're so tight. But the key is to reverse that, right? Start to look outward. We talked about, you know, giving loving energy, right? You know, helping people, you know, finding a purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Faith, right? Higher purpose. You know, we talked about faith a lot. You believe in a higher power. Is there a purpose for your life here on earth? Those are the things that liberate you and start to expand yourself beyond that tight little shell that people have when they're depressed.
And that's the beauty of it, because I think at the end of the day, this journey called life, it's about experience. And if you dare to come out of your mind and be physical and look around, live a little, and realize that things change, even though, like, say, for instance, like you mentioned earlier, if a memory was brought to you by you going to a certain place and you're afraid to go there, try it. That place, I guarantee you, you go back to it, it's not going to be the same. Your memory is going to be there, but you're going to live in the now and you're going to see that, oh my God, this place I used to come with her or with him, it's beautiful in its own. And be grateful for the moment, right? For whatever is in front of you.
Exactly. You know, and find one thing you can do, right? Take one little action. Because ultimately, this is all about building hope. Because depression is lack of hope. So when you have hope, you know, change, right? You have faith, right? This is going to be a better day.
Motivation.
Yeah, exactly. There's something more out there. So sometimes, you know, we look at role models, right? You know, who's your role model? Maybe it's a religious figure. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe someone, a fictional character, right? You know, but something that you want to live up to, right? Some aim that's going to lift you up from your depression, right? To something higher. That's the idea. And do it one step at a time. And of course, acts of kindness. You know, we also talk about that. You know, doing something kind for people can lift you out of your depression quite a bit.
I'm not going to do anything for anybody. Nobody's doing anything for me. Why?
Ah, see, that is the irrational. Remember the thought we talked about?
Yeah.
So if you do that thought, how do you feel? What's your emotion from that thought?
Exactly. You're still incarcerated.
Yeah, you're sad. You feel, you know, you feel isolated, right?
Yeah.
You feel lonely, and then you're going to pull back. But what if you say the opposite? Let's reverse that thought.
So, you know what? I'm going to try something different and give it a shot. Why not? I've been in this gear for too long. Let me walk.
Right. Instead of saying no one does anything for me, say, okay, but I'm still going to do something for others because I'm going to put some positive energy out there in the world. And I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to do an experiment. Okay. This whole month, I'm going to put positive energy out there. I'm going to keep putting it out without expecting anything back. And I'm going to see what happens just out of curiosity.
It's weird, doctor, because I did that this week on my other regular job. I inspect vehicles, right, for a major company. And I get to meet a lot of different individuals every day.
Right.
And this week I went in with that mentality. I said, I'm going to have nothing but great appointments because in the past they've been a little different. And the appointments were so smooth that I was even surprised. And it was on the attitude.
Yes. So you set yourself up for success instead of failure.
Right? Yeah.
Because mentally you put yourself, hey, I'm going to have great appointments. I'm going to have the success. And that's part of the key. You set the expectation in a positive direction, right? Hope versus no hope. And that's the key to depression, right? So we can, you know, every day develop a little more hope in something, whether it's faith, family, friends, ourselves, our creativity, whatever it is, we can master depression.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Dr. Avila, for always bringing us the knowledge that makes a difference in people's lives. A lot of people might be lost, but we intend with Love University to spread the love that sometimes is missing in society and sometimes you feel there isn't. Well, realize that there is. There is a path out of it, and I'm a clear testimony that there is a way out of it and you can become somebody better, but just following these little steps.
Yeah, really, so all of us are human. All of us have sadness, right? All of us have fear. All of us have doubt, but also all of us have joy, confidence, love, and faith. So we can all be united, right? This is the key to Love University. We're all a community, right? We're building this great community. We're going to be at December 1st at the Casa Croc Cafe, right? With this a networking mixer.
Yeah.
7 o'clock here in Fullerton. And this is part of what we're doing, right, is building a great community of people that have love and passion and creativity. And that's the wonderful part of this.
That's what it is. And we hope you enjoy this episode. Till next time, join us and pass it on. Tell people, subscribe, and share our episodes.
Definitely. And they can call us at 310-226-8090 and email us at lovetype, L-O-V-E-T-Y-P-E, the number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. Until next time.
Thank you, guys.